Please welcome our friend Glenn.
You can come right through there, yeah.
Good evening, everybody. Well, this past girlfriend, we've since split up. We're together 10 years. But for some reason, the first year we're together, she sent flowers to work and a card that said, "Happy anniversary." So I am just astounded, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, we're not married, but she sent me an anniversary card. I better get with it. So I told my boss, I got to go out and buy something. So I got her flowers and an anniversary card. So every year after that, we celebrated our anniversary of getting together. She didn't want to marry me because she had a bad experience with her marriage, but she wanted to celebrate it. So we did. We went to Carmel. We went to Hawaii so she could swim with the dolphins. And Monterey, we went to see Thomas Kincaid. We actually met him. And of course, I had to buy one of his paintings for her that cost me $6,000. But I thought, okay, well, that's a small price to pay. I like her. She likes me. We're very happy together. So everything went along swimmingly for 11 years. And then she left me. And she went to Missouri. And I did not want to move to Missouri, and I told her I wasn't moving to Missouri. And of course, she said, "Apparently, you don't love me enough to move with me." And I said, "No, I love California. I'm staying in California. If you love me enough, we could move to another state or another city, anywhere in California you want to. I'll even move back to the Bay Area, but I'm not moving to Missouri." Anyway, done deal. I got her boxes from Ross. And, well, actually, I got her boxes from Ross. I wasn't working at Ross at the time. So she went ahead and moved. But I continued celebrating our anniversary. So it's October the 15th. The first anniversary I celebrated, she always loved going to Vegas. So I drove to Vegas, got a room, and for some reason, I got a bottle of Jack and a length of rope. And I knotted the rope, and I put it up in the door and shut the door and pulled on it. And I thought, oh, this will really work. So I proceeded to finish off the bottle of Jack. It took, for the 2 days I was there, I didn't leave the hotel room, if you can imagine. All I did was get plastered out of my mind. In fact, I blacked out twice. But I never used the rope. So I thought, why didn't I do that? So I had a moment of clarity, and I remembered something that happened to me years before as I was coming off alcohol. And what happened was a lady that I knew, a Christian lady, I probably told you this already, called the cops on me and said I was suicidal. So they took me to a facility. And this little tiny doctor named Dr. Schwartz decided that he was going to extend a hand of mercy to me and help me out. The facility was not for alcoholics. But because it was in the record that I was suicidal, he decided he was going to help me. God bless Dr. Schwartz. His daughter, Paula, was one of the main interns there, and she stayed with me the entire night and worked the following day as I was going through this incredible mess trying to get off alcohol. I was hallucinating. I felt like I had just run an 18-mile run, and I was sprinting the last 400 yards. That's how I felt while that night. It was horrible. The next day, I stayed in my room, spent a lot of time over the toilet. The third day, they finally let me out, and they put me in the day room. So I'm sitting in the day room completely sober, and I'm just watching everybody. There was the slider. They put on two pairs of pants on him because he slid down the halls all day long. There was Hail Mary, who walked around with a big crucifix and would come and recite Hail Mary to you. And what I learned, when you're in the place, you don't really acknowledge anybody. For instance, when Hail Mary came up to me, I just looked at her. She did her thing, and then she walked away. If anybody tried to interact with me, I would just look at them, and they would eventually leave and walk away. You don't interact with anybody because that could create a behavior. Anyway, really great in group therapy. Paula was the group therapy leader and had a great time. It was kind of interesting to hear all these different stories of these individuals. But there was one girl that I found most interesting because she did not look like she fit. Her name was Lily. I noticed she was a cutter because she had cuts on her arms and on her legs. So apparently she used a razor blade quite a bit, not for shaving her legs. So I kept on looking at her because she'd always sit in the same chair. And if anybody was sitting in the chair when she came into her room, she would just walk up to him and go, "Get out of my chair!" And they would eventually leave. And I thought, wow, that's wow, that's something else. You don't say to you don't do that to a person who's heavily drugged. You don't do that. I mean, you could cause a behavior, but for her, it seemed to work. And the one guy that always sat there would always jump up and run away. So she would sit there for the rest of the day with her book. And the book was The Sirens of Titan, which I thought was really weird for her to be reading. It was a science fiction book. And I would just look at her occasionally. Well, I was staring at her really hard one day because I couldn't figure out how this completely sane, normal person was sitting there quietly reading a book surrounded by all this other stuff that was going on. And so I looked away and I looked back and she was looking directly at me. I think she was. She always wore sunglasses. They allowed her to wear sunglasses because she had a glass eye. So she just stared at me and I stared at her and I didn't know what to do. And finally, I thought, well, I'm going to introduce myself. So I got up and I walked over towards her and I said, hi, my name's Glenn. And she looked at me for a little while and then she went like this. And I said, oh, okay. So I went back and sat down and I'm sitting there and my friend Jesse, who I played chess with quite a bit, came over and sat with me and said, whoa, be careful, Lily, stay away from her. And I said, okay. I was just trying to introduce myself. He said, well, stay away from Lily. She's a little, she can go off. She can have a behavior. And I said, okay. So the next morning I was eating breakfast and in walks Lily and she looks directly at me and she sits across from me and she says, what was your trip yesterday? And I said, I just wanted to introduce myself. She said, another thing, why don't you get any medications like anybody else? What's your problem? Are you special or something? And I looked at her and I said, no. And I told her the whole story. And she sat there and patiently listened to the entire story. And then she just shook her head and she said, that Dr. Schwartz, I just love him. And then she looked at me really seriously. And then she said, I know what you're thinking. And I said, I'm not thinking anything right now. She said, no, you're thinking I'm one suicidal bitch. And I said, no, I'm not thinking that at all. And she just got up and walked away. And I thought, that was the last interaction we really had. She continued to sit and read her book. Her father, Jack, came by, and he was an evangelist. And I saw that they went into, they had a special room where you could visit with your relatives. And so they're sitting there in the room, and I was just watching their interaction. And it was so sweet. Because she really respected him. I could tell she loved her father. They were just having this wonderful, wonderful interaction. So Jack was waiting for the guard to let him out of the unit. And I walked up to him and I said, hi, my name's Glenn. And he says, he looks at me really strange because I was completely sane. No one else does that. And he said, hi, my name's Jack. And he began to tell me her story, which I didn't ask him to tell me. Her story. But here's this grown man crying, tears running down his face, and he's telling me her story. What happened was when Lily was 12 years old, she was walking home from school, three boys grabbed her, took her someplace, and abused her. And then they beat her with a baseball bat. That's why she was missing her eye. And they put her in a plastic bag and they dumped her naked alongside the road. Somehow, they thought she was dead, and they took off. Lily came to in the plastic bag, clawed her way out of it, and drug herself up to the street. And a passerby saw her, called the police. They took her in. She was pretty beat up badly. And, okay, the beautiful part of this whole story is she didn't remember the attack. She didn't remember anything that happened. I don't know if she shut it out, but she didn't remember any of it. So her father told her that she was in an accident, a car accident, because he realized that she didn't really know what happened. The police found the three boys, but she couldn't testify because she couldn't identify them. So what they did was they went after one kid who was from a fairly decent family. The other two boys had records, and they got him to talk. Well, when they got him to talk, very simple, he witnessed against the other two boys, he got off with a light sentence. His parents wanted to do the good thing. They were shocked about what had happened. So they started providing money for her recuperation. So Jack moved from LA, he moved to San Jose, and so the year after this had happened, Lily was in the bathtub and she liked to cut herself, and she cut her wrist wide open and it started bleeding. And she just sat there looking at the blood pulsating out of her wrist until she passed out. Jack realized that, hey, what's my daughter doing? She's taking too long. So he kicks the door in, takes her to the hospital, calls the ambulance. They came and got her. They saved her. Then the next year, she overdosed on Jack's medications. So Jack's thinking, okay, this is a deal. She's going to do this every year around the same time this happened. She doesn't know why she's doing this, because she doesn't remember what happened, but she's going to do it every year. So Jack started taking her to the facility and signing her in every year. So she became very good friends with Paula. Her and Paula were tight. They always got together. They laughed. They talked. They had a great time together. And she absolutely adored Dr. Schwartz. And you see, I'm sitting in this hotel room, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. I've had 11 years of great anniversaries. And just because I don't have a job, I'm homeless now because I lost the apartment, and I'm having trouble finding a job, I'm on the verge of losing my car and living on the streets, I am not the person that Lily was. And somehow, every single anniversary she had every year was in a mental institution. And that saved me at that point. This girl that I'd met years before in this mental facility saved my life. I wish I could find her and say, Lily, you saved me. But of course, lost contact with her. I don't know where she is. But I thought, how could that be possible? How could that be possible for someone who I met years before just to come into my mind and save me? Anyways, that was Lily's anniversary, and it saved me on my anniversary. Thank you very much.